welcome again to the Leveling Up podcast with Brigham Blackham. I have two special guests. I have Shane Richens and Rindy Richens from Scales and Tails. So excited to talk about how to shed your skin or risk business extinction. So once again, guys, welcome. I wanted to first start off with hearing a little bit of your backstory. How did you get in business, and tell us a little bit about yourselves?
I'll let Shane start. This is his company.
All right. I just had a couple of reptiles. I'm big into science, and I like stage. I like acting, and all that happened to be a combination that would work for this. Didn't realize that until the girl I was dating at the time. And I met a gentleman that does this for a living. He does animal shows across the country for a living. And she was in school for a marketing degree, and he and she got along really well. And they suggested that I, she wanted me to have a job that was a little more,
adult
than what I had. And so she and he suggested I do it. He kind of coached me for all the animal stuff since then. She had the business degree, so she set up the business side, and I rode both their coattails until she and I broke up and I met Rindy.
Nice.
I was afraid I was going to lose my business because I know nothing about business, but I can make a fun and funny show, and I know how to handle animals, and I have a lot of science knowledge, and I'm good at being on stage. And that Rindy been looking for a business because she also has a business degree, and she wanted a business to run. And so that worked out great. I mean, that's how we got married, even though we weren't in love, simply because it was a good arrangement. Just kidding. No, it's Rindy took over the business side of things and jumped business quite a bit because she convinced me to actually invest money into my business. It was a terrifying proposition at the time because when I started out, I was starting out of my condo. And and we've grown and grown until we can't keep up with our own growth. So
I love that. Now, this topic of shedding your skin, this is something I think you guys are going to be very uniquely qualified to talk about. Uh-huh. Can you give us like a visual of what happens when a snake goes through that process? Tell us about why that would be helpful to have that as a growth mindset when we are going through any type of change in business.
Just on the biology
on
side?
On the biological side, let us understand, like, from your perspective, what that process is like so we can apply that to business.
Well, we shed our skin too. We just do it in little tiny patches all over the place. The only time we do it like a skin or a snake or a lizard is if we get a sunburn. And then we get to do it in big patches. So it's necessary for all the creatures because old skin cells die off, but you also end up with, if you're going to do it all in one shot, you can get too big for your skin. It can be a part of damage control, part of the healing process for snakes. And it's also involved in pregnancy. I'm not sure why that is. It's a part of the pregnancy process, but at the very, in the end, you just wear out what you've got on your outside, or you outgrow it and you need to get rid of it. With a snake, they will separate the old and the new layers with a fluid. It's kind of a grayish blue fluid. Since snakes don't have eyelids, they have a clear scale over their eyes. Their eyes are always open. They sleep with their eyes open. And with a clear scale over their eyes, that means that their skin gets dull because you can kind of see through skin, but the eyes you can really see through. So their eyes turn this opaque blue and they can't see very well.
It's really creepy.
And so they're nervous. They're more nervous then. It's not a great time to handle your snake because they're going to be more touchy because they can't see. And then when they've gone through that for about a week, their body is prepared, then their eyes clear up about a day before it happens, and they start rubbing their nose on anything rough, a rock or a stick, something like that, to get it to break free. And then it just peels off, as long as they're humid enough so that the skin is soft, it peels off inside out, just like your dad's tube sock if he's out of style. And it comes inside out until they crawl out of it. When they do that, that tends to stretch the skin. So when you find a skin, you're actually, and people are super excited about how giant that snake was, that skin is actually going to be longer than the snake itself was.
Wow. That's so fascinating. So if you can take that idea of literally having that skin of your previous experience, your previous knowledge, and how you've applied that to business, how has that been able to help you so we can avoid extinction, right? Because a lot of businesses, if they don't change, they will go out of business.
Oh yeah.
So tell us how we can apply that into a simple principle.
Well, a lot of the things that I have to deal with, because I have to be entertaining on stage, and that means I have to write scripts. A lot of the skills that I bring to the table are my ability to write funny scripts, because you can get up there and try to improv, but you're going to draw a blank eventually. But if you have a script that you can improv off of and then jump back to, then you have a base that keeps you going. And but as time goes on, things change, society changes, the zeitgeist moves forward, and you have to move forward with that or go out. For example, there are jokes I've had to abandon because the what was funny is now offensive. There are jokes that I've had to abandon because the younger crowd doesn't know, for example, who Jay Leno is. I have a joke that involves Jay Leno, and the younger crowd's like, I don't know. Now, a lot of my jokes are supposed to go over the kids because the parents are paying for it, and some of our clients actually are adult groups. We can do a variety, but the majority are kids, but mom's still paying for it. So a tip from Disney, just make it entertaining for both mom and dad and for the kids. And in that context, some are meant to go over the kids' heads, some are meant to go, but there just comes a point where things have just been out of the spotlight for too long. There was a great Britney Spears joke I used for a while, but now she's in the spotlight in a very different way, and so it's no longer that entertaining. Hard part there is keeping up, because as I get older, I become more disconnected from the younger audiences, and I have to actively try and go watch episodes of Paw Patrol or something.
I love that. So constantly changing your bits, your jokes, so that it is relevant. So if we're talking about
also the science, as science learns, it adapts. That's the big deal. That's what science is so exciting. It's not dogmatic. It's not supposed to be anyway, which means there are things that, for example, at first when I started with teaching how reptiles are all cold-blooded, but through that time, we've found a reptile that's warm-blooded, and it happens to be one of the ones we use in our shows. And so we have to try and keep up on the science as best we can too, and change the show to adapt to the new information.
Now I feel like I need to know which reptile is warm-blooded. I don't know.
Tegu, black and white Argentine tegu. Particularly during
groom. Because I don't know, conceptually, what that even looks like. Is that a lizard?
Big South American lizard. Yeah, they're omnivorous, they. Scientists went into their dens, they were studying them, and they got temperatures that were wrong. They said, people are going to laugh at us if we say it's a warm-blooded lizard. So they spent 2 more years studying it. And during their breeding period, their temperatures are not our temperature, but they're above the surrounding temperature. So they're a warm-blooded lizard. So crazy.
That's pretty crazy. I had no idea. You have to learn something new every single day, guys.
I love the stuff where it feels like you broke science. A lot of people feel like reptiles always lay eggs, but they're reptiles with a placenta equivalent. There are a lot of people that feel like mammals don't have scales, but there's a scaly mammal. It's just, there are so many fun things. It's fun to kind of break science in people's minds and then show how it works.
Yeah, as soon as you see a grandma's foot, you're like, oh, I believe that mammals can have scales too.
it's true.
But I love that. Now, tell me a little bit, Rindy, how you first got into business, because I know you've been growing this experience with people, because it's not just, hey, we're going to talk about animals. They could go watch a Animal Planet and learn things. It's about the experience. So tell us a little bit about how you guys cultivated that. Go ahead.
So Shane and I met back in like 2006-ish, I think.
There were no dates.
And I a couple of our dates ended up being
dates. When is our anniversary? I think it's coming up.
April 25th.
Oh, cool. Good to know.
A couple of our dates were ended up going on shows with him and just kind of being his little sidekick. And I was like, oh, this is kind of a nifty little niche product. We should really market you and get you out there. And I'm like, hey, let's spend some money on this advertising. We tried some coupon cutting things like Hometown Values. And I'm like, here, put down some money on it. And we got it all set up. We ran the ad. A month later, nothing happened. And I was like, shoot, sorry. And then all of a sudden, the next month, moms must have been cutting all those coupons out, sticking them on their fridge when we used to cut coupons. And all of a sudden, we got a flood of calls, and I was like, oh my gosh, it worked. And from there, you know, he went from doing 6 shows a month to like 30 shows a month. And then from there, we tried to dip our toes into the school systems a little bit. I got some a bunch of mailing addresses for all the different schools in one district and just sent out packets to everybody and try to explain ourselves, and out of all 85 packets, one school called us. Nice. And we did a show for them. And then all of a sudden the buzz happened and they're like, oh my gosh, this was amazing. This was such a cool experience. You know, you need to get this for your school. You need to get this for your school. And that guy just told everybody, that teacher told everyone. And then all of a sudden it was like 60 shows a month. And then it was 80 shows a month. And then we decided to dip our toes into like the county fair system and some big fair stuff. And we built ourselves a big traveling pop-up zoo. And we got ourselves into the county fair system using the Utah Association of Fairs. And all of a sudden we were doing like nearly every county fair in the state of Utah. And then from there we joined the Rocky Mountain Association. So now we're doing stuff in Montana and in North Dakota, or was North Dakota or South Dakota? I don't remember. It's one of the Dakotas. But we've gone into Wyoming and Nevada. We're actually doing a traveling show out to Colorado now, just because some kid out there in Colorado in Grand Junction found us online, thought us we were pretty cool. And so he fundraised this whole school year so that we can come out on our anniversary.
That's so cool. I'm moving to Grand Junction. So, I mean, I might have to see you guys there. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's so great. So what I'm hearing from this, because I always try and figure out, hey, how do I make this apply to my audience? What you were able to do was you targeted a very specific group of people that you're like, I know this is going to add value to them. And instead of going and saying, hey, my product's for everybody, you said, my product is for this school system. And I want to figure out how I can help one school get the, the vision and experience. And then after one school did it, that just started spreading. I think that's so great as far as a business mindset to say, as long as you hit that ideal customer, they have a great experience. Word of mouth advertising is so invaluable.
So powerful. So powerful.
So let's talk with this, Shane. What are some of the ways that you've been able to help capitalize on those reviews and capitalize on, you know, right after the show's done, the hype and the excitement? Do you like record videos? What do you guys do to help capture some of those reviews?
Oh, shoot. I don't know what we do to capture some of those reviews. I mean, we've just kind of counted on making sure that we have a really, really high quality product. And that if somebody's not happy, we make sure they're happy in the end.
Well, I was going to say that at the end of every spiel or every show, you kind of give a spiel like, here, these are the next things you can do. These are the next steps you can take with us. You can come visit us at our facility. We've have got zookeeper camps. We've got stuff for adult camps. We've got, you know, we're going to be at the fair next week. We're going to be here, there, whatever. So, I mean, that's something we train all of the employees and, you know, and he's the one that started it essentially, but essentially just trying to market ourselves at that place here. And then we pass out flyers and, you know, and
I know there are other companies that do what we do, and what they'll do is they'll take pictures of each kid with their, with an animal. And they try to, for example, at a birthday party, and then they'll try to get all the information and send them to the parents, or no, they post them online. They post them online for everybody to see. We've chosen not to do that because I don't know that all parents want their kids online. We know parents that are afraid to have their kids' pictures online. And so that's been kind of a sketchy, but it's worked for them. I don't know if they've ever gotten in trouble for it. I mean, it's legal because legally you can take a picture in public, you can take a picture of anybody you want, whether they want you to or not, but we want to be wanted, not just legal. And so we've chosen to avoid that. We've also aimed for the long game in that it matters that we're consistently good. If somebody doesn't like what we do, we try to make it better. But if we have competition that tries to be underhanded and come at us in a shady way, we try not to spend our energy clapping back. We spend our energy consistently being good, because in the short term, somebody may be like, hey, I don't know. But in the long term, it starts to become real clear. Anybody that uses those negative techniques, as my dad used to say, if you give somebody enough rope, they'll hang themselves. And so in the long term, that's worked out better, because worrying about the short term reputation is really tempting. But we've had much more success worrying about our long term reputation. Like, are we worried about this person now? Or are we worried about consistently being good enough that people eventually realize that, you know, this guy has a track record, this group has a track record? And so that's that long-term reputation has really helped. I mean, in the beginning, you haven't got that, and that makes it hard. But once you get that going, the reputation alone gets you going.
Yeah, your reputation is so fragile at times. You think about it, like,
right,
it takes years to build.
Well, we have weathered some storms because of our reputation.
Yeah, you guys know about the alligator thing, right?
I don't.
When one of our employees got rolled by an alligator. And
death rolled.
It's a... I mean, it's a risk. The employees, we work with the dangerous side of the animals, the sides we let the public handle. And so it's a danger that we have to.
The public does not.
Yes, sir. Did I say?
I don't know. What you said. It didn't sound right.
Anyway, And so there's more danger to us. We've all been bitten by something. We all have a couple scars because we're dealing with dangerous animals. We have nice ones we let the public handle, but we have another level that we do we handle. So there's a certain danger. And one of our employees got rolled by an alligator and it made international news. And so that was one of the hardest things we've ever had to endure.
The weather.
Yeah.
And we're still here. We're still kicking.
Yeah. And she's doing great. She still works with the alligator. She loves him.
Had a meeting with her last night.
So.
So when you have a tragedy like that, I mean, you're in business long enough, there's going to be something happen. Like you will have.
And this is a business with some danger involved.
This has some danger. And, you know, there's financial danger. If you don't know your cash flow, there's.
Right. I'm never going to financially recover from this.
Manage that well and manage your customers. So tell us, what are some of the advice that you would give yourself 15 years ago? And you just a youngin, right? What is that advice that you would give yourself saying, hey, if you do this consistently, it'll make all the difference?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Invest in Microsoft.
Yeah. Invest in Disney and Walmart.
Yeah. There
you go. They're still around. I'd say just trying to, you know, those are such stressful situations, and just trying to like take a step back, try and remove yourself from, you know, reading all the comments and all the public outcry and everything, and just kind of take a step back, because a lot of times, you know, you give it 2 or 3 days and the next story moves on.
Don't take the comments personally, because no matter what you do, the comments are going to have people who are just looking for something to say. And the easiest thing to say is the negativity. And so just don't take the comments personally.
The couch experts. Especially.
Yeah.
The couch experts. Yeah. That's that. I've been reading a book called Dare to Lead by Brené Brown. And she talks about the man in the arena. I don't know if you're familiar with that quote, but it's one that it's the man that's actually in the arena that's got the blood, the sweat, the tears, that's putting in the work, the people in with the crocodile, the person that's actually sharing and doing their very best to contribute. They're the ones that are going to get the comments of, oh, I can't believe he'd be doing X, Y, or Z. Oh, it's inhumane or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's always those couch patrol people. Mm-hmm. But
there's a song.
Yeah, go ahead. I was just saying the honor goes to that person that's actually doing something. So I applaud you for taking initiative. Yeah. What was the song
you said? Yes, there's a song I like by Garfunkel and Oates. They're a comedy song or duet, but it's called, You're Such a Loser? Mm-hmm. Something like that. And I like the song. It helps me get through some things sometimes, because the whole point of that particular song is that you tried and you failed, but you're better than the person who's going after you for failing, but never tried. They're just, let them stay on the couch and comment on the internet. The whole point of that song is go ahead and go out and lose, because that person that's making fun of you for losing, they're less than that because they never even tried.
Yeah. You never try. You never actually know if you could have completed it.
And I've tried other little things. Like I wanted to be a stuntman. I always shoot high, I guess. I wanted to videotape. I used to be a huge into rock climbing. That was my whole world. And I wanted to video rock climbers. I was hanging out with some real hard climbers, and I wanted to do rock climbing videos and sell those. And but this one stuck because I had the right talents for it. Yeah. So you just keep failing until you succeed. And then sometimes after you succeed, you fail, and then you go try again.
Well, a lot of times your failures, you learn from them, and then you change, you adapt, and you try and take the next step and move forward.
Yeah, that's a big part of it, is learning new skills and not shooting off skills. Like I've had employees that don't want to do anything except a very narrow, narrow job. As a business owner, you can't do that, because if you have a job that needs to get done, you haven't got piles of money to go hire experts in everything you possibly can do. I needed travel cages for these fairs. So I bought a welder and went to my friends and my uncle that know how to weld, said, teach me how to weld. I need to build cages. And they taught me how to weld. I built some practice equipment because I didn't want my weld to be failed. So I did some just practice projects to get my welds good. And then I welded together all the cages that we use for the travel displays that disassemble and reassemble. It's not a reptile skill, but I had to go and learn an entirely new skill. And in that process, I had a lot of failures. I had several projects I built and they didn't work out, and I put them in the recycle, cost me all that steel and all that time. but it wasn't a loss because I learned from those failures how to weld, make good, strong welds that look good, sturdy cages. The welds look good. And I've expanded that skill because it's been so versatile, and you can't really just go down to the local PetSmart and buy an alligator cage. They don't really sell them over a certain size.
Yeah,
well, they shouldn't be selling them anyway.
Well, they sell little ones. They call them aquariums.
But not for an alligator. Alligators are illegal down in Utah. We all knew that.
Alligators come small though. Yeah. But yeah, after they hit a certain size, you need to, that was another thing, is learning how to deal with the business side. Like when the red tape. When I started, I said, I've decided I'm going to do it. I'm going all in. I went down and I decided to get my business license, went in. They said, you need a name. I'm like, shoot, I didn't think about that. And that ex that I was with at the time, she and I brainstormed real quick, came up with Scales and Tails. We threw it in the ring, gave it to him, and then I had a business license for a year. But turns out I didn't, because what I had done is registered my business's name with the state. I thought I had a business license. And so those are those little things that you learn, that there's no obvious clear path as far as what you're supposed to do. They just expect you to know the all the ins and outs and the details of the red tape. So we've learned the hard way on some red tape stuff. Rindy figured it out that I didn't have a business license, and she fixed it for me. But yeah, I'm really grateful to have her, because I don't have the attention span to sit at a computer and do the business side of things. And honestly, it's better to have a bad product and a good business acumen than to have, including marketing, than to have a great product and terrible marketing.
Yeah, marketing is so key. Getting into any type of business, if you don't have customers, you don't have a business.
Right. Right.
Products, my service are great, but I am not talking to the people. I'm not seeing them. I'm not sharing my story. I'm not giving the opportunity to buy. Then they will never buy.
Yeah, I can write a hilarious script, and I can be animated on stage, and I can handle and care for in an ethical and healthy manner a crazy variety of reptiles. I can do a lot of and all this comes down to a great product for inspiring kids to want to conserve nature, to become scientists, to treat animals with respect instead of fear. All of that's fantastic. Useless. I know lots of people that can. Well, I know people that present things in a fun way. Well, not a fun way, that present things, and they don't ever get anywhere because they don't have the marketing. We had a bird person we took on for a while. She was doing bird shows for free for her local libraries because she didn't know how to get the product out to places that would pay and expect payment, or to make the show something that is entertaining. Because just like feeding kids sugar cereals, mom says she's buying it because it's fortified with vitamins. But let's be honest, it's because the kids will eat it. And it's the same sort of thing. We put in lots of education, but we have to wrap it up in a fun way. And some people take that too far one direction, and that they'll exploit the animals. We've seen a show where they were trying to do alligator wrestling techniques with a python. They're not made for that just because they're trying to show off, but the animal pays the cost. We think using jokes is better, because then the animal just has to exist on stage. It doesn't have to do anything crazy. Mm-hmm. Or that they're not made for. There are some things animals can do because they're made for it. But I kind of lost my train of thought where I was going.
I'm not really sure.
I started rambling, I guess. Sorry, I'm a rambler.
We'll turn it back over to
stories. Well, let's wrap it up with this. Whole idea is when you are willing to change, you're willing to grow and shed that skin, that it can prevent some extinction level things in your business. So let's talk about, what is the biggest challenge that you guys overcame since you started your business? And then tell us how you overcame that.
You know what? When you talk about shedding skin, I think about employees that we've had to shed that we don't. It's hard because they're humans, they're people. And some of them have helped you at times you really needed help. And then when they don't work out anymore, it's hard because it's shed. Some people want to hang on to the old way, where as you progress, things become more refined and they want to stay more cowboy. And you're like, the company has to change. And if you're not going to change with the company, we need to move on. And you care about these people and you have to let them go. And that's a difficult skin to shed right there. We had to deal with that a couple of times.
Another one would be COVID. A lot of people, you know, all of a sudden we run a company that is completely based on group gatherings, and we're being told you can't group gather, and we're like, well, shoot, what are we going to do? And so we, like a lot of people, moved online. You know, we started trying to sell shows online, and, you know, we would do a lot of different interactions, a lot of different things on Facebook Lives and Facebook, or something, YouTube. And what are some of the other ones we did? We were just selling shows too. We would just do Zoom shows.
Yeah, it brought in some money that way. But to be honest, how much we've contributed to the community came back to us. The public said, you know what, we're also just going to donate to help you guys get through COVID because we believe in what you do. And
that was huge.
That hit us deep. That made us finally realize that we actually did matter. We weren't just trying to get some money from people. What we saw as our contribution, other people were also seeing. That meant a whole lot. COVID was so, in fact, we're still recovering from COVID because we also needed COVID grants and COVID loans. And we've got so much COVID loan money that we're still trying to pay back, which is affecting our business right now. Sure. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. COVID was hard.
COVID was hard. That hit right at a time we were trying to move because we were outgrowing our space, and we still had to move because the animals still need to be cared for. And that was another thing. We couldn't just really roll over and shut down. We had, you know, 100+ mouths to feed. And, you know, it was really hard. We had to let all the employees go. And then almost all of them came back and volunteered for the next like 4 months until things started moving again. So.
Yeah. There are times where it feels like you can't go back. So your only choice is to go forward and
keep climbing that next hill.
As a climbing analogy, there's a strip that's got no pro, and you're just going to be real run out. And if you fall, you're going to swing in and take a real hard hit, but you've got no choice but to, you know, go. There are times where you're just reaching without a safety net and hoping that there's something to hang on to at the end.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing your insights, your story. We have just a little bit of time left. So I wanted to have you guys share maybe one last call to action. Like, hey, this is something that, if you had when you were new, that would make all the difference. What would be some one simple piece of advice? Like, do this. I can guarantee that would be helpful.
Invest in marketing, but
invest
be careful.
In marketing right away.
Yeah. Be careful where you invest in it. Do your research, because there have been marketing strategies we've tried that have bombed so hard and cost us so much money. But without it, without any marketing, we had to learn through failure. But marketing is huge.
Probably more money in marketing.
And in the long term, ethics. Well, I guess in our world, it's more because people care about animals. And so if we aren't ethical with them, then it hurts our business more than anything else. There are some businesses, I guess, you could go with not being ethical and get away with it, but you can't with ours. Not in an animal business, not in the modern day. You could have 100 years ago, even 50 years ago. But nowadays, you can't be in an animal business and be unethical about it, because if the animals are just expendable things, then you're going to lose. The zeitgeist won't accept that right now, which is great. It's one of the great things about time moving forward.
Yeah, I think it's so important as a basic policy to have legal, ethical, and moral ways that you not only deal with animals, but that you run your business. Then you can.
Right. If things come down, you've got a foundation to support you when things go wrong. And that's just fantastic. When people come after you, we've had somebody that used to compete against us, and he didn't like that we were doing better. And so he tried to use shady means and tried to make our name look bad. Tried to make us look bad on the news. And in the end, we came out smelling like roses on that. And he ended up going under eventually because he spent all of his energy trying to attack. And people started to realize that he wasn't pulling things in an ethical way. All we had to do was have that foundation so that as he attacked, we couldn't get hurt. And that was great.
I love that. Yeah,
ethics and marketing.
Yeah, ethics and marketing. I think that's great. Focusing on what is in your power, on what you can do, rather than what other people in the marketplace are doing.
Like, right.
Be the very best version of yourself.
Yes, sir.
That's so, so valuable. So thank you for your awesome ethical way that you take care of these animals. You provide
thank
great
you.
Shows. I would love to hear how people can connect with you. Tell us one place where they can find you online.
Well, Rindy knows all our marketing, so I'll let her do it.
Oh, scalesandtailsutah.com.
Excellent. ScalesandTailsUtah.com. Give them a like and a follow, guys. I really appreciate your time today. Sharing was so much fun to hear some of your stories. I know this
Thanks
is
going to
be the last time we talk, guys. So grateful to get to know you more.
You too.
And best of luck in your business. God bless everybody. Give this a like and a follow if this was helpful. And then hit that little notification bell. We want to make sure that all of these opportunities to give you the very best leveling up information you have at your fingertips. So once again, thanks, guys. Take care. God bless.